Britons of Cambria by R. W. Morgan. The Trojan Era. The descent of the British people from Troy and the Trojans was never disputed for 1500 years. The island of Brutus was a common name of the island in old times. The word tan is the old British or Japhetic term for land. Britannia, pronounced Britannia, the British U being sounded as E, is Brutes or Brutus land. The term is also of very ancient use in Asia, as Laristan, Feristan and Afghanistan. The only two national names acknowledged by the ancient Britons are Cymru and Ilin Troia, the race of Troy. The Trojan descent solves all the peculiarities in the British laws and usages, which would otherwise be wholly inexplicable. The Trojan War is the cardinal point in ancient history, from which we can trace events upwards for about four centuries, and downwards for about 140 years, in Greece to Codrus and Neleus, but in Britain for 1,000 years, down to the era of Caswallon and the Roman invasion under Julius Caesar. The genealogies of all the British kings and princes trace up through Belly the Great to Aeneas, Dardanus, and Gomer. The Trojan colonisation of Britain took place as follows. After the deluge, 680 years, and BC 1637, Iao and Dardan reigned over the Umbrian Empire in Italy, Dardanus having in a rencontre slain his brother Ao or Jasius, emigrated first to Crete, then to Samothrace, lastly to Phrygia, where at the foot of the mountain, which after the mountain in Crete he called Ida, he built Dardania. The king of Phrygia, then reigning, was Athos. He had two sons, Lud and Turi, Lydus and Tyrrhenus. Dardanus, having exchanged his rights in Italy with Athos for a part of Phrygia, Turi sailed with a large body of his father's subjects and took possession of that portion of Umbria in Italy which belonged to Dardanus. From Tyre it was from that time called Tyrrhenia. Dardanus married Batia, daughter of Teucer, king of Chlodor, Lydia, and was succeeded by Eric, the wealthiest monarch of the East. Eric, by Tros, who removed the capital of the empire from Dardania to Troy. Tros had three sons, Ely, Assaric, and Gwyn the Beautiful, Ganymede. Gwyn was waylaid by Tantalon, king of Lydia, and sent for safeguard to Jove, king of Crete. Tros, or Tros, made war on Tantalon and his son Pelops, expelled them from Asia, and added Lydia to his empire. Pelops settled in that part of Greece called after him Peloponnesus. From him descended the royal families at Argos and Sparta, represented when the Trojan War broke out by Memnon and Maeon, Agamemnon and Menelaus. Tros was succeeded by Ili, Ili by Laomedon. Tros reigned 60 years. To commemorate the splendour of his career, the Cymry of Italy, who had followed Dardanus, took the name of Trojans. His second son, Assaric, begat Anchises, who wedded Gwen, or Venus, the daughter of Jove, king of Crete. Their son was Enas, or Eet, the head of the royal tribe of the Dardanidae, and patriarch of the Trojan lines of Rome and Britain. In the reign of Laomedon, the citadel and walls of Troy were rebuilt by Belin and Nev, architects of Crete, after the model of the Cretan labyrinth, which was also an exact representation of the stellar universe. Laomedon was succeeded by his eldest son, Tython, who, marrying Ida, or Aurora, abdicated in favour of his youngest brother, Priam. The son of Tithon and Ida was Memnon, king of India. In the reign of Priam the Trojan, war broke out, and the cause of it was this. Jason, nephew of Peleus, king of Thessaly, organized an expedition against Colchos in Asia, which was part of the mother country of the Cymri. The principal chiefs under him were Hereolf, or Hercules, and Telamon. These anchored on their way to join Jason off Troy, but were peremptorily forbidden to set foot on Trojan ground by Laomedon. On their return from the conquest of Colchos, Hereolf, Telamon, and the other Greek chiefs surprised and slew Laomedon and five of his sons by a sudden attack on the city, carrying off also Hesione, his daughter, who was afterwards wedded to Telamon, to whom she bore Ajax the Great. Priam, on his accession to the throne, immediately dispatched an embassy to Greece, demanding the restoration of Hesione and satisfaction for the outrage perpetrated by Hereolf. The two most powerful monarchs of Greece at the time were Memnon and Mun, the descendants of the Pelops, who was expelled from Asia by the Cymri under Tros. Instigated by them, the states of Greece unanimously refused redress, upon which Priam appointed his son Paris to the command of a fleet, ordering him at all hazards to effect the liberation of Hesione, instead of which he bore down at once towards Sparta, the capital of the territories of Menelaus, and seizing his wife, Helen, the loveliest woman of the age, he carried her off, first to Egypt and then home to Troy, Menelaus being at the time absent in Crete. All Greece, on hearing of this act of just retribution, flew to arms. A confederate armada of 1,394 ships, under 48 princes, was collected under Memnon, or Agamemnon, king of Argos, as commander-in-chief. The history of the war which ensued, the most celebrated of any in ancient or modern times, is given in its poetic form by Homer and Virgil, and in its historic by Dares of Phrygia and Dictys of Crete, contemporary authors who served throughout it and afterwards accompanied Brutus into Britain. It lasted for 10 years, during which time 18 pitched battles were fought, and the flower of the Trojan and Greek chivalry perished, for the most part, in single combats. The heroes who distinguished themselves most on the Greek side were Achilles, Ulyxes or Ulysses, Ajax, Patroclus, Merion, Nestor, and Agamemnon. On the Trojan, or the Cymric side, Hector, Troil, Paris, Memnon, Aeneas, and Sarph, or Sarpedon. On the night of the 21st of June, 1184 BC, in the 10th year of the siege, the faction of Autonor and Helenus, which had always been averse to the war, threw open the Scaeon gate, surmounted by a statue of the White Horse of the Sun, to the Confederate army. For 48 hours, a battle of the most desperate description raged within the walls. The brave old king, with most of his sons, fell, fighting around the altar in his palace. The command then fell on Aeneas, who, giving orders to fire the city in every quarter to prevent its capture by the enemy, cut his way at the head of the Dardanidae through sword and flame to the forest of Mount Ida. There, being joined by other Trojans to the number of 88,000, he prepared to return to his ancestors, the Cymri of Italy. Accordingly, after various adventures, he landed at the mouth of the Albula, or the Tiber, and was cordially received by the reigning sovereign, Latinus, and presented with Chlauen, or Joy, or Lavinia, Latinus's daughter, in marriage. Antenor, sailing with 6,000 Trojans up the Adriatic, founded Padus and the kingdom of Gwynedd, or Venetia, in Italy. Helenus, with a large body, settled in Albion, or Albania, in Greece, where he was afterwards joined by Brutus. Aeneas, by his first wife, Caruso, a daughter of Priam, had Julius Ascanius. From the second son of Ascanius, Julius, descended the family of Julius Caesar and the emperors of Rome. The eldest son of Ascanius was Silvius Ascanius. He married Edra, niece of Lavinia, who bore him Brutus, the founder of the Trojan dynasty of Britain. The issue of the second marriage of Aeneas and Lavinia was Silvius Aeneas, from whom descended Romulus, the founder of Rome. In his 15th year, Brutus accidentally slew his father in the chase. He was ordered by his grandfather, in consequence of this deplorable event, to quit Italy. Assembling 3,000 of the bravest youths of Umbria, he put himself at their head and sailed to his countrymen in Albania, afterwards called Epirus. There, in conjunction with Assaracus, another Trojan prince, he raised the standard of independence against Pandarus, who had succeeded Agamemnon in the sovereignty of Greece. A series of victories on the Trojan side resulted in a peace, and Pandreas gave his daughter Imogene in marriage to Brutus. The coasts of the Mediterranean were at this time studded by settlements founded by the Greek leaders at the siege of Troy, for Greece had been completely exhausted and disorganized by her enormous efforts during the 10 Years' War, and for more than two centuries a state of anarchy succeeded that of the old heroic civilization. Brutus, aware that a Trojan kingdom could not be established in Albania except at the cost of incessant hostilities, resolved on emigrating with all his people to the northern seat of the main stock of his race, the White Island. The resolution was unanimously approved of, and a navy of 332 vessels was constructed, arms and provisions supplied, the pedestal of the Trojan Palladium consigned to the care of Geryon the Augur, and the whole population embarked on board. The Crimean colonization took place by land across the continent of Europe. The Trojan was conducted by sea. Coasting the southern shore of the Mediterranean, Brutus arrived the third day at Melita, then called Legetta. Finding on it a temple of Diana, or Caradwen, he consulted her oracle on the future destinies of his family and nation. The verses were afterwards engraved in archaic Greek on the altar of Diana in New Troy, or London, and translated into Latin in the 3rd century by Nennius, a British prince attached to the court of Claudius Gothicus, the emperor, the uncle of Constantius. They have thus been rendered by Pope, with the exception of the predictions of Balaam, recorded by Moses in the Book of Numbers. This prophecy is the oldest in the Gentile world, and is still in course of fulfilment. Brutus says, "Goddess of woods, tremendous in the chase, to mountain boars and all the savage race, wide o'er the ethereal walks extends thy sway, and o'er the infernal regions void of day, look upon us on earth, unfold our fate, and say what regions is our destined seat. When shall we next thy lasting temples raise, and choirs of virgins celebrate thy praise?" Brutus, there lies beyond the Gallic bounds an island which the western sea surrounds, by ancient giants held, now few remain, to bar thy entrance or obstruct thy reign. To reach that happy shore thy sails employ, there fate decrees to raise a second Troy, and found an empire in thy royal line, which time shall ne'er destroy nor bounds confine. The bounds of the empire founded by Brutus are now measured only by the circumference of the world, and his lineal descendants still sway its scepter and occupy its throne. On the ninth day, they passed the Philistine altars, and thence sailed on to Mount Azara. They gave the coast the name of Mauritania, the land along the sea, which it yet retains. They then steered through the straits of the Libyan Hercules, now those of Gibraltar, into the Atlantic, then called the Tyrrhenian Ocean. On the south coast of Spain, they came upon four other Trojan colonies under Tronius. These were readily persuaded to join them. The combined emigrations, sailing northwards, were again joined by a body of Greeks, part of a Cretan colony that under Teucer had settled in Calabria. They then anchored off the mouth of the Loire. The great plain between the Alps and the Atlantic had by this time been thickly peopled by the descendants of the Alpine and Auvernian Cymry. These called themselves Celts or Gael, and the country Gaul or Gallia. The meaning of Gael is a woodlander, a man of a forest land. The lowlands being then everywhere covered with dense timber, the highlands alone were cleared and dry. The king of the Gael was Guffar. His ambassador, being killed in a reconnoitre with Tronius, Guffar made war on Brutus. In the first battle, Guffar was defeated, and Stubart, his general, slain. Brutus, advancing through Gascony, threw up his camp in the centre of Guffar's own domain. A second engagement was fought, in which Brutus lost his nephew, Tyre. In honour of him, he built an immense tumulus, where now stands the city called after Tyre, Tours. Guffar, being a third time routed, submitted to the terms imposed upon him by the conquerors. The fleet, repaired and revictualled, sailed next year around the Horn of Armorica, and finally anchored off Taunus in Tor Bay. The disembarkation occupied 3 weeks, the first to place foot on the Isle of the Mighty Ones, being the Trojan hero himself, and on the rocks still pointed out at Totnes as the Stone of Brutus. The three Pacific tribes received their countrymen from the east as brethren. Brutus introduced the constitution and the laws of Troy. Before his time, the primitive tribes regulated their lives and intercourse by a few simple patriarchal usages, the law of natural kindness being their chief guide. Brutus, at a national convention of the whole island, with its dependencies, was elected sovereign paramount. The throne and the crown of Hugadan thus devolved upon him, both by descent and suffrage. His three sons, born after his arrival in Britain, he named after the three Pacific tribes, Locrinus, Camber, and Alban. Brutus is also celebrated in the Triads as one of the three king revolutionists of Britain. The Trojan system under him being incorporated with the patriarchal. The most memorable of his laws is that of the royal primogeniture, by which the succession to the throne of Britain was vested in the eldest son of the king. This was known as preeminently the Trojan law, and has in all ages regulated the succession to the British crown among the British dynasties. It was eventually adopted by the Normans and became the law of England. It is the only safe basis on which monarchy can rest. Elective monarchies have always fallen by internal disunion or foreign partition. Another fundamental ordinance established by Brutus was that the sovereigns of Cambria and Alban should be so far subordinate to the sovereign of Logria that they should pay him annually £40 weight of gold for the military and naval defence of the island. The whole island was never to be regarded otherwise than one kingdom and one crown. This crown was called the Crown of Britain, and the sovereignty over the whole island was vested in it. The crownship of Britain on Beniath Bridain. The military leadership remained in the eldest tribe, the Cymry, and from it the Pendragon, or the military dictator, with absolute power for the time being, was in the case of foreign invasion or national danger to be elected. This leadership was the same as Sparta exercised in Greece and Rome in Italy. Every subject was as free as the king. There were no other laws in force than those which were known as kafrethou, or common rights. There were no slaves. The first slaves in after times were the Kathaeon, or captives taken in war. The usages of Britain could not be altered by any act or edict of the crown, or national convention. They were considered the inalienable rights to which every Briton was born, and of which no human legislation could deprive him. Many of these usages are remarkable for their humane and lofty spirit. For instance, there are three things belonging to a man from which no law can separate him: his wife, his children, and the instruments of his calling. For no law can unman a man or uncall a calling. The most learned jurists refer the original institutes of our island to the Trojan law brought by Brutus, Lord Chief Justice Coke, in his preface to Volume 3 of Reports, affirms that the original laws of this land were composed of such elements as Brutus first selected from the ancient Greek and Trojan institutions. It is to these native laws, and not, as has been absurdly alleged, to any foreign or continental source, German, Saxon, or Norman, Britons have, in all ages, been indebted for the superior liberties they have enjoyed, as contrasted with other nations. Lord Chancellor Fortescue, in his work on the laws of England, justly observes that, concerning the different powers which kings claim over their subjects, I am firmly of the opinion that it arises solely from the different nature of the original institutions. So the Kingdom of Britain had its original form Brutus and the Trojans, who attended him from Italy and Greece, and were a mixed government compounded of the regal and the democratic. Another British or Trojan law remains in full force, that the sceptre of the island might be swayed by a queen as well as a king. In the Pict kingdom, the succession went wholly by the female side. Among the continental nations, no woman was permitted to reign. The Saxon considered it a disgrace for a king to be seen seated on a throne with a queen. The names of the leading Greek and Trojan families remained among their Cymric descendants till a very recent period. Some are still in use. All ought, as a matter of national honour, to be revived. Homer is one of the mutative forms of the word Gomer, the G being under certain laws dropped. The epic poem of the Iliad, or Fall of Troy, assigned to Homer, is a collection of the heroic ballads of the bards of the Gomeridae, or Cymri, on the great catastrophe of their race in the East. It was originally composed in the Cymric, or bardic, characters. These were afterwards changed by the Greeks into the Phoenician, and in so doing they were compelled to drop the Cymric radical gu. Hence the metrical mutilation in the present Greek form of the Iliad. The gu is the letter attempted to be restored by modern scholars under the name of the Aeolic digamma. The Aeneid is similarly the epic of the British Cymry of Italy on the same subject, Virgil being a descendant of the Cymric conquerors of Italy under Brennus, and as his writings everywhere evince, an initiated bard. Neither of these immortal poems have any connection, strictly speaking, with the historic races of Greece and Rome. They are the epics of the heroic race, the race of Gomer. The chariot system of warfare and the system of military castrametation were introduced into Britain by Brutus. Caesar describes both as having attained in his time the highest perfection. The British castrametation was in some important respects superior to the Roman. In the third year of his reign, Brutus founded Caer Troy, afterwards called Caer Lud, now London, Ludin, Lud's city, on a spot known as Brun Gwyn, or the White Mount, on the north side of the estuary of the Thames. The White Mount is now occupied by the Tower. In the court of the Temple of Diana, he placed the sacred stone, which had formed the pedestal of the Palladium of the mother city of Troy. On it, the British kings were sworn to observe the usages of Britain. It is now known as the London Stone, and is embedded in another on the south side of St. Saviour's Church in Cannon Street. The belief in old times was that as long as it remained, New Troy or London would continue to increase in wealth and power, and with its disappearance, they would decrease and finally disappear. Faiths of this description were moral forces on the minds of our ancestors, impelling them sometimes to the wildest and sometimes to the sublimest achievements. The faith that the British Troy, or London, was destined to sway a wider empire than either the Asiatic or Italian Troy, or Rome, had swayed is one of the most ancient traditions of the Cymry. Brutus died after a memorable reign of 24 years and was interred by the side of Imogen at the White Mount. His career was one of gigantic events, that of the founder of a mighty empire in the West, which after various mutations of fortune and absorption of races, still reposes on his name and institutions. To this very day,